Thank you, Brother John. It's good to be back, come back in your place of listening, wherever you may be. I trust we can be an encouragement, be a help to you, encourage your heart. Good to, glad to have a visiting preacher here with us this evening, Brother Cody Shaney Peltway. Glad to have him. We know him for several years, and I told him just to mind the Lord, peel the bark, and preach. So at this time, we're going to turn to him and let him just take the whole entire time.
Thank you, Brother James, for the opportunity to preach on the broadcast this morning. Trust we can be some of the help to you and blessing to you. The message on our heart here. Don't know how it'll go, don't know how long we'll go, but anyway, this is what the Lord laid on our heart. So without any further ado, 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, is what we're going to read. And the 9th verse, I'm not going to read all that verse, I'm going to read the very first part of it, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'd like to say a word of prayer here before we get into the message, that the Lord would stand by us and help us, that He would anoint me and He would anoint your ears and your hearts to hear and to receive the Word of God and not turn it away and shrug it off, as so many is doing in this day and hour. We can see the results of people shrugging off and deafening their ears and ignoring the Word of God by the way that society has turned and unfolding. But this morning we're going to pray that you would open your ears and your heart to the Word of God and receive it and be a change made in your life. So let's pray now. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Another opportunity to preach your Word, another opportunity to release your Word, that you would anoint the Word of God, that you would anoint the ears and the hearts of those who may be listening. And ask you, Lord, that there would be a life-changing experience, that they would heed your Word and not turn it away and ignore it, as some so have so many tragically have done in this day and this hour. I pray, Lord, that it would come to an end this morning with many hearts and lives and lives made change for you. They make a decision of what they're going to do with what your Word says. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 16 and 9 here starts out with this verse. And we could read on down about what this story is going on about, talking about Asa and how he just absolutely just forgot God, period. And then we see what happened there as a result of him forgetting God. But this one particular sentence and one particular phrase of this scripture stuck out in my mind and jumped out at me as I read over this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And it don't take a second grader to know that there is nothing that God does not see.
Amen.
There's nothing that God does not know about. I'm not the smartest person in the world, never have been, and you can fool me with a lot of things. And you can fool Brother James, and you can hide things from him, you can hide things from a lot of people, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be nothing that you can hide from God.
Amen.
I mean, nothing that you're going to slip past him, or never one time you pull the wool over his eyes, because he's all-seeing and he's all-knowing. The writer here in Chronicles tells us, for his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Bible declares God as being one who, as he said of himself, that the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And that he sees and he knows and he's omnipotent and he's able to look past what we can see. He's able to look past the flesh and past the bones and past the muscles and the tendons, and look straight into the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl, and knows the intentions. He knows the ulterior motives. He knows the thought process. He can see and he can tell just about anything that you've got going on in your life, no matter what it is. This thought really came to my mind, and I began to really focus in on preaching this today, and off an experience that I had. I was in Walmart just last night, and it really hit home to me about this scripture. And it was relatively late when I had to go by Walmart to pick up a few items on my way home from the pastor's house, and so it was probably around 11:30, closer to 12, I guess. I don't know, maybe around 11:30. And I'd advise you, if you're going to do your shopping, if you got anything to get at Walmart, get it sometime during the day, and don't go in the middle of the night.
Amen.
Because that seems like when all the freaks and all of the Hell's Angels comes out and does their shopping sometime around 11:30 at night.
Yes.
And I went in there and I walked in that store, and as soon as I walked in the store,
The very first thing that met me when I was walking out was two girls who were walking out hand in hand with one another. Yeah. It met me right at the door. I thought about turning around and going back to my car and just forgetting about whatever I had to get. But I went on in, and as sodomy there, as the sin of homosexuality, if it's not the sin of homosexuality in the society that we're living in, you really don't, girls don't have no business, even if you didn't mean anything by it, holding hands with another girl because of the society and the culture that we're living in. But you could tell by the way that they was dressed and by the way that their hair was bobbed off and the way that they was acting that one of them was the feminine one and one of them was the masculine one. Almost made me sick at my stomach. But I got to looking at that, and I can see that from the outside appearance. And I can see it looking at it carnally, but it makes me wonder, and I begin to think about this, that the eyes of God can see past all of that, all of the sickening, nauseating stuff that I seen there in Walmart last night. But it made me wonder, what does God have to see?
Amen.
When He looks at it, when He can see so much more than I can. I'm looking at the results, and I'm looking at the consequences of a heart that's been turned against God and has forgotten God and don't care about God, but He's looking down into the direct problem and the root of the issue. He's looking at the heart.
Amen.
And if I can see the grossness and the filthiness of sin on the outside, I wonder what God has to look at when He looks on the inside and sees the root of the problem.
Amen.
I've never, ever, except for one time, seen actual cancer on the inside of a body. I was in the medical field for a year or so, a couple years, and I seen a surgery where I actually was able to look on some places on the inside of the body where cancer was. And it was one of the sickest, one of the nastiest, one of the grossest things I believe I've ever seen in my life. Besides that, I've seen the outside effect of cancer.
Yeah.
When they lose their hair, when they lose weight, when their body turns pale, when the look of death comes upon them. And I see the outside effect, but there's nothing that's worse than seeing the root of the problem, because it's always worse.
Amen.
I walked on down through there. I walked on down through Walmart, and there was those who looked like they got in a fight with a tackle box and lost. I looked like those that somebody maybe tied down and wrote all over them with a permanent marker. And I seen those, and even this, and I don't have a problem with people who have fallen on hard times and have to have assistance from the government to buy food and things. But I seen, as I pulled up there and brought my stuff up to the counter there to check out, I seen this man, this young boy, and this young girl who had the newest fashions of the clothing on, who had tattoos all over them, who had jewelry and studs and nails and staples in every part of their body that imaginable, and some that I would not even dare ask if they had one there. And I realized that those things come because they had to waste their money on getting those tattoos put on their body and waste their money having that jewelry and staples and nails pierced into their body, but was paying with government benefits because they had spent their money and wasted it on other things. And I began thinking, what do you think? Why are you preaching against that for? Because sin has effects.
Yes.
And because sin is a direct result of blasphemy against God and a direct result against the Word of God when He declares that things should be done decently and in order, it makes sense to me why they would be living their life backwards and upside down and living like a bunch of heathens.
Amen.
And I'm asking you this morning, I'm not even going to go into any more direct detail of things that I seen there at Walmart last night or any other time that I go to town. You go to town in the middle of the day and you can see it now.
Yes.
Sin in our culture and our society in the past little while has seemed like it has no issue. It has no shame.
Amen.
It is not embarrassed. Nobody is disgraced anymore to, as they say, come out of the closet. Nobody's in disgrace to walk out of their house looking the way they do and dress the way they do.
Amen.
Because And I wonder, as I even ride down the road in my neighborhood and see the young kids playing out in the driveway and in the yards dressed like they are, and that the mamas and daddy would even think about daring, allowing them to walk out of their house. And I can see all the outside effects, and I can see the direct result of sin.
Yeah.
But then I get to thinking about what God has to look at, as He is an all-seeing God, and as the writer of Chronicles tells us that His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'm seeing just a little bit of it here in Hoke's Bluff, Alabama, where I live. And I'm seeing just a little bit of it in Gadsden, where I do most of my business and my banking and my shopping. But the Bible says it is that His eyes roam to and fro over the whole earth.
Yes.
And I'm just seeing a little bit of it. I'm not seeing the whole picture, but there's a God in heaven that's looking upon this whole earth. And I'm wondering what He has to see when He looks down and He scans the earth and He sees the sin and He sees the turmoil and He sees the transgression and the iniquity that has engulfed our land today.
Amen.
I know there's a group of people who have not sold out. I know that there's a group of people that haven't bowed a knee to Baal.
Amen.
And I know there's a group of people that have not bowed down, that said, we'd rather take the flames and would rather take the sentence of death, O King, than to bow to the gods of this world.
Amen.
I'm wondering what tonight, this afternoon, which side of the fence that you are on. It don't do you no good to sit straddle of the fence, because God said that He would rather have you hot or cold. And if you was lukewarm, that He would spew you out of His mouth.
Amen.
Many, many multitudes, the Bible says, in the valley of decision. Some want just as much of the world as they can get while still trying to claim God and say, I'm a Christian, and still trying to be a part of the church, but trying to live as close to the world as they can. I'm telling you, friend, when God looks down from heaven and His eyes begin to scan over the faces of the earth, if He finds you lukewarm, He will spew you out of His mouth. Half-heartedness, a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. I'd like to encourage you today, if you're sitting on the fence, to fall off in the direction of God. There's too many that fell off the fence, tragically, in the way of the world, and that's the reason and the result of why the world it is today. But I'm preaching to you today because I want you to know that there's nothing in your life that you're going to be able to slip past God. And God's looking at you, and what is He having to see when He looks at you?
Amen.
Now, I wonder, the Bible says in one place, it talks about this time when God was full of wrath and judgment was fixing to be pronounced upon the people, and they were commanded to kill a lamb, a sacrifice, and to place the blood of that sacrifice on the doorpost of their homes.
Yes.
Because very soon that night, the angel of death, sent by God, was going to pass over that camp.
Yes.
And pass over that city. And every doorpost that he did not see the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb, he was going to kill. He was going to kill the firstborn. You do know, don't you, that salvation can only be found through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For without it, the shedding of blood, the Bible is very clear and says that there is no remission for sins. It's not in shaking the preacher's hand. It's not attending church every service, although that is good, and you need to. Because somewhere I hope God will deal with you and you will listen to it. It's not in paying your tithes, though I believe in that. It's not in being baptized as a baby and expecting that your whole life is you're saved just because you were baptized and dedicated as a child. It is because you have to make up in your mind that you have got to have a personal, one-on-one, genuine experience with God for yourself.
Amen.
It takes repentance. And it takes believing. You cannot ride on the coattails of the pastor You cannot ride on the coattails if you've had a godly mom or dad or grandma and grandpa. Every man, woman, boy, or girl has to be saved for themselves.
Amen.
There is coming a time where you're going to have to, not in a carnal sense, but in a spiritual, you are going to have to realize that the blood of the Lamb, of the spotless Lamb of God, for He is the sacrifice that was made for us, just like the one that they had to sacrifice during that day, that His blood is going to have to be applied to the doorpost of your heart. For when God comes and the angel of death comes and judgment comes and God finally says enough and it comes the end of this thing, that you will be passed over by the angel of death because he spots the blood of the Lamb of God on your heart. I cannot stress to you enough right now in this moment of all the things that are going on in this world and all of the lies and all of the hypocrisy and all of the perverted preaching and teaching that's going on in your life today. There is more to this than what Joel Osteen tells you.
Amen.
That you can have a new Cadillac and God wants you to. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than all of this craziness that's being preached and all the laying on of hands that Benny Hinn does that has no power whatsoever in just a gimmick and a game and a ploy to get your money.
Amen.
And to buy them a more fancy $2,000 suit. There's more to it than what the preachers and the teachers that have a backbone of a jellyfish are telling you so they won't lose your nose and your nickels. You must be born again.
Amen.
Sin has never been attractive to God. No matter what they say, no matter what they preach, no matter what they teach, no matter what they try to cram down your throat, you do not have to sin a little bit every day.
Amen.
The teaching and the preaching and the doctrine that everybody sins a little bit is false, and it was born and it was birthed in the depths of hell.
Amen.
When you get saved, God will take the liar out of you. When you get saved, God will take the cusser out of you.
Amen.
When you get saved, you won't run around on your wife anymore.
Right.
When you get saved, you won't run around on your husband anymore. When you get saved, you'll want to spend time with your kids instead of putting everything else first. When you get saved, God will take the desire and the craving for nicotine out of you.
Amen.
When you get saved, your lips won't want to touch the alcohol bottle. When you get saved, you'll flush the drugs down the toilet. When you get saved, you'll throw the Copenhagen and the dip out the window. When you get saved, you'll put in a gospel CD instead of Alan Jackson or Elvis Presley.
Amen.
God makes a difference. When God does a job, He does it right. You know, want to know why religion, you want to know why churches, you know why I want people is living half-heartedly and on the road to backsliding? Because it's a man-made salvation and it's not of God.
Amen.
But this is what God's having to look at when His eyes are roaming the whole face of the earth to see what's going on. Just the other day, I read a statistic on the climbing and ever progressing rate of abortions. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You sitting there listening to me, and you're saying, oh, now it's the people's choice. No, it's not the people's choice.
Right.
It was your choice before you went to bed with that woman, and before you went to bed with that man and decided to defile the very Word of God. That's where your choice ended.
Amen.
That baby is innocent in the decisions that you made contrary to what the Word of God tells you.
Amen.
And even if you're married and your wife has become expectant with child, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to care and love for that child. You have no excuse for that baby to be murdered.
Amen.
In the mother's womb.
Amen.
I don't care what they say. I don't care what kind of medical and scientific facts that you throw at me. Murder is murder, no matter whether it is a fetus or a 105-year-old man.
Amen.
Life is life in the eyes of God. I don't understand this, but they tell me, because I have some friends that are in the legal system. And you wonder why I'm preaching this way this today, this afternoon. I'm preaching this way because I'm sick and tired of sin.
Amen.
And of what it's doing to our country.
Yes.
And you want to ask me if you want to find out whether or not I'm patriotic, whether or not I love my country, whether or not I love everything about it. You come and you tell me to quit preaching what I'm preaching. You'll see how patriotic I am. I wave a flag in front of my home. I've got a bumper sticker on my car. But that don't do a lick of good. That don't do a lick of good if I'll never stand behind a pulpit or these other preachers never stand on a pulpit and try to stop what's killing the United States of America.
Amen.
You wonder why I'm preaching. There's your reason right there. They tell me in the legal system that abortions are allowed and babies are killed by the thousands every single day.
Yes.
But when a man walks up to a woman in a park and shoots her or stabs her and kills her and the baby dies in her womb, that they will press charges and charge that man with 2 counts
yes.
of murder.
That's exactly right.
Now you tell me the difference.
Right.
Now you explain to me the difference. You bring your PhD to me and explain to me the difference between killing it in a clinic or a man killing it in the mother's womb.
Amen.
There is no difference, you see, because it's always been the nature of men that when they're caught and when the light is shined on their sins to make an excuse and to run around and find every little loophole they can try to find to justify the wrong and the iniquity and the transgression that they are committing against a holy God.
Yes.
When I was a kid, and I did something I knew I wasn't supposed to do, I lied when I was a kid. I lied like you ain't never believed. When Mama sometimes, when Daddy sometimes would ask me, why did you do this? No. No. But you was right here. You're the only one in the house. I didn't do it, knowing good and well the whole time that I done it. And don't that sound like society today? Don't that sound like the world we're living in today? Yeah, it may be wrong, but we're not going to tell you it is because this is the reason and this reason is that it is sin in the eyes of God.
Amen.
We've got a choice. We've got a reason to be happy. I was born that way. You was not born with a desire in your heart, young man, to marry another young man.
Amen.
You was not born, young woman, with a desire and a craving and a love in your heart for another young woman.
Amen.
Let me just go ahead and tell you here, friend, that there is a difference. There is a difference in love and lust.
Yeah.
We have got the two confused. Why do you think divorce rates are at an all-time high? Because they said their vows being caught up in lust rather than love.
Amen.
Why do you have the problem of abortion? Because we have lust instead of love. Why is homosexuality at an all-time high? And they're legalizing it in different states and countries even now. Because lust has taken the place of love. Why is people's heart being hardened toward God and after the gods of this world? Because in order to love God, you have to love God. But lust has taken the place, and now it's lusting after the gods of this world instead of loving the only true God.
Amen.
I want you to notice here. I want you to think real hard. I'm trying to pull your mind. I'm trying to pull your mind around. I want you to grasp this before I close out here in just a few minutes. I want you to think about what God, in His holiness and in His righteousness, and in His utmost purity because He's God. I want you to wonder and think about in your mind what He has to look at when He looks at you. I'm not talking about the way you dress, though in a lot of cases that's bad enough. I'm not talking about the way you talk. That's bad enough. But I'm talking about what the all-seeing eye of God has to see.
Amen.
When He looks past your dress and your outside appearance and looks upon the condition of your heart.
Oh, yes.
Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 and verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." I'm very glad of that. I'm very glad I have God watching over me.
Yes.
Especially in the day that we're living in, I'm glad the eyes of the Lord are on me and my family. "And His ears are open unto their prayers." That's great. I'm glad that the Lord hears my prayers. I'm certainly glad that He hears my prayers. Do you see what benefits there are for serving God? Putting away the things of the world and of sin and serving the Lord. His eyes are upon you and He's watching out for you. His ears are open to your prayers. There's nothing that you don't pray that He can't hear. He'll move for you in your situation. But I want you to listen here. And if you're living in this place, you're living in a dangerous place. But you can move from the last part of this verse to the one they describe in the first part of this verse. The very last part of this verse says, "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil."
Right.
Against them that do evil. How tragic do you think it is? If you'd listen to me just for a moment right here before I close out in about 2 minutes. Listen to me close. How tragic it would be for knowing that God can look upon you with eyes of love and protection because His eyes are on the righteous and His ears are open to their prayer. But how tragic it would be knowing that you could have this, but the end of this verse, be your demise,
right,
and be your damnation.
Right.
That when God looks at you, you remember, don't you, that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and He took on all the sins of the world, and all that sin was bore upon His shoulders as He hung there, that God in His holiness, although it was His Son hanging there, and all the sins there on Him, He could not bear to look upon His Son,
amen,
bearing all that sin.
Right.
And He turned His back and looked another way. How tragic it would be this morning, this afternoon, that God would take a look at you, and because He's so holy, and because He's so pure and so righteous, that He sees in your heart that you're not willing to change, and sees all the evil and the sin in your life, and He turns and looks a different direction. My God, everybody that I've ever read about, everybody that I've ever heard about, that God turned their back on, the end thereof has always been sad, sad, sad.
Yes.
Do you want that this morning for your life? Are you willing to settle for that for your life? Are you willing to receive the fact that God will save you if you'll let Him?
Amen.
If you've been serving God and you begin to start picking up and collecting idols and going against the very thing that you know is not right, I want to tell you, you're not beyond the place and you're not good enough and you're not big enough to stop God from looking the other direction. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
If you're on the straight and narrow and there's danger of picking up little false gods and little pretty idols along the way, friend, you better put them down and leave them alone.
Amen.
Because God's got His eye on you. And if you're not saved this morning and you want to be, and you know God's not pleased with what He sees in your life, you better lay it down and you better consider what God has to look at when He looks at you. We'll turn it back to you, John.